You're listening to DraftKings Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
You like croquetas? Not ham croquetas, but like chicken croquetas.
Yeah.
How about empanadas? Do you like those?
I love empanadas, yeah. Does anyone not like empanadas?
Only monsters.
I think even monsters do.
That's true.
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Does anybody not like empanadas? There are a number of things that I want to get to with Guillermo because the Marlins season is sort of lurching to a close.
Season ended like 3 weeks ago, Dan. I haven't watched a single game yet. It's a waste of time.
Are you going to watch their ability to ruin the Phillies season at the end, though? They've got a chance to ruin the Phillies season with the last three games. That doesn't interest you in any way?
No. I have a life. I have things to do. If they don't care about running this team, why should I care about following this team?
So you didn't either get interested that Jesus Sanchez made a barehanded catch in the outfield, the first I've seen of those since Kevin Mitchell did it. Put this on the poll as well, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. If you're catching a fly ball with your bare hand, have you certainly misplayed it and don't get to have it be a great play? Because I thought when Kevin Mitchell did it, it's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen.
Right. But he misplayed it.
He did misplay it, but he caught a fly ball with his bare hand. And Jesus Sanchez did that the other night. No interest in that either.
I can see that on the gram, though, and save myself 3 hours. It's exciting. I mean, they're hitting home runs. They're doing stuff. But, like, also, they're, like, 25 games under 500 with, like, 12 to go. I mean.
But you don't like to be a spoiler? Like, that's not. You don't have time for that?
They have seemed to develop a hitter. Brian De La Cruz looks like he might be a guy that they can rely on.
Developed a hitter.
I'm just saying, man. I'm trying to find the positives.
What do you mean developed? They traded for him.
I'm not developed. I'm just saying they seem to have come up with a guy that we didn't have a couple years ago that seems like he might be a middle of the order guy, and that's exciting.
The thing that I wanted to ask you, Guillermo, is as you see Yelich and Stanton playing meaningful games, Stanton Stugatz hit a home run yesterday. He hits the ball harder than anyone who's ever played. He hit a ball
over. Joey Gallo's right there, this though.
But you say he's right there, but I would say to you to counter that since they started tracking these things, Stanton has 37 balls hit off his bat that have been 118 miles per hour or faster, and the rest of the sport has 28.
That's crazy.
So, and Gallo's in there with the rest of the sport. So I'm telling you that what I saw yesterday is he had a line drive that was barely over the third baseman's head, and it went like 40 rows deep. And it was just hit straight on a line.
Stanton also leads the league in staring at a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle because he's guessing.
Yeah, and being a sourpuss. God, can you smile? Would it kill you?
Jeez. Leads the league and leaving his bat on his shoulder?
Just staring at a 95-mile-an-hour fastball right down the pipe.
You don't have any more of the wounds from seeing your guys do important things.
We're not emotional at all about that.
No. And by the way, Yelich bust.
Hate him.
Bust. Bad. He hasn't been good for years.
One big year.
Yeah, one big year. Yeah. Suspicious.
Did Brinson keep it up, though?
No.
So we lost that trade still? Even with the bust?
Or did we lose that trade?
It seems like it was like a mutually bad trade for everybody involved. Yeah. Just
he won an MVP in Milwaukee.
Yeah, but...
How about the Marlins' former catcher? Didn't he have a big hit for the Phillies last night? I don't remember his name. Oh, yeah, JT.
Can't you make the argument that it's actually worse what Yelich has done to the Brewers? Like, Brinson never gave us hope.
Yeah.
The Brewers thought they had the best hitter in baseball. Yeah. It's almost just better to be Brinson.
Yeah.
And like never even.
Yeah. No.
I swear to God, I bet you Brewers fans are more angry at Yelich than we are at Brinson.
Yelich is Brady Anderson.
I like this theory. The whole it's better to have never loved than to have loved and lost.
Exactly.
Right?
It's a gag. Mm-hmm. Don't arrive as a star, as a five-tool hitter. Five-tool hitter? Can you be a five-tool hitter? I don't think you can.
No, you can.
Don't arrive and then go away.
You can.
You can be a five-tool player.
Hitter two.
Yeah. Someone that can and a hitter two, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you break it down. Yeah, bunting.
No, you're a five-tool player. You're not a five-tool hitter.
Hitting is one of the two.
Let him count it. Hold on.
Yeah, no, there's things.
There's gappers.
Uh-huh. Bunts. Sack flies. Dingers.
Duck farts.
Bunts are not one of the tools.
Oh, yeah.
Having a good eye.
Tool, yeah.
Discipline.
Plate discipline.
Nobody bunts anymore.
Well, they're wasting opportunities.
Guillermo, I believe that we've been doing this show damn near 20 years, and Stugatz and I have argued about any number of things, but I would like to nominate that the argument that you and Mike just had, that I will, I'm going to quote directly, I'm going to recreate it with no differences in the words or said, I believe that you are just on the wrong end of the most lopsided argument in the history of this show. Mike Ryan uttered the sentence, he won an MVP, and you said, yeah, but, and nothing else.
Well, how many did Barry Bonds win? What did that get him? No rings, not in the Hall of Fame.
But that's not the argument. The argument ended with you just saying, yeah, but, and you didn't say anything
he doesn't have to say anything.
Individual MVPs, Dan. Stanton got one of those. What did it get us? Nothing. Got him shipped off to another team. Yelich won one. I don't see any banners in the whatever the hell they call that place now, where Bernie the Brewer slides down the slide. Got him nothing. Poor Bob Uecker's going to die without seeing them win a championship.
Jesus, Billy.
And it's Christian Yelich's fault.
I mean, he does have 20 homers over the last two seasons after having that MVP season, and he's been injured, Dan. He's kind of right.
But no, he wasn't good this year. With him not being that good is strange. If you want more of Billy's baseball analysis, your Friday night can be spent with him, Chris Cody, and Mike Schur. And I am promising you that Mike Schur... Roy will be there as well. I'm sorry, Roy. I did not know that you were going to be there. You weren't there for the last one. My apologies. So
I was there at the end.
Friday night on YouTube. Mike, the big draw is it's Red Sox Yankees, and Mike Schur thinks it's not going to be entertaining to watch him suffer with every pitch. He's an insane person, okay? He's simply insane. He doesn't care about anything in the world. He cares about this. The other day, I put him and Tim Kirkchen on a conference call. I put the phone down. For 45 minutes, they just could not stop talking about baseball. Every nuance. Mike Schur is dying, Stugatz, with every pitch that's thrown in a Yankee game. He's sitting here. He's sending texts to people when a 2-1 pitch is called in favor of the Yankees. And he's sending you the strike zone. He's nuts. And he doesn't think it's going to be entertaining to watch this. And I'm telling him that it's going to be entertaining to watch him. As a Red Sox fan, suffer playing against the Yankees.
Now, for those of us who are into a lot of entertainment, will Adnan Brooke be there?
Stay tuned. Anything can happen. Dan, how do you put people on conference calls? Do you just hold two iPhones together?
Like walkie-talkies?
You 69 cell phones?
It's just merging calls. It is a feature, yes.
It's the one thing you know how to do on that phone, right? In terms of, like, if you're going to expand out on that phone, you could put two people in contact with one another.
I'm telling you that anybody... We did this as a South Beat session one time where we just let Schur and Kirkchen talk. I don't know what's going on with ESPN. Mino came on with us. I hope
Tim Kirkchen will be joining us next week. ESPN, the worldwide leader, has graciously allowed for the forbidden door to be open.
Oh, the thawed relations.
I just asked. That's it. Friday. I asked for Mina. They gave us Mina. I asked for Kirchin. They gave us Kirchin. I mean, things are happening.
I asked for June Lee for Friday. They said no. So
who'd you go through?
I don't. The I'm same not person. Name names.
Is it? No, is it A?
Yeah.
And A said no?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask.
I said
so
no.
You said yes, and now there's a no? What is the what just happened?
Well, we got
you can't
yes
do this. You just did the Vikings. You just did the Vikings field goal call to our audience. Are we going to have Tim Kirchin, or are we not going to
have definitely having Tim Kirchin. I got clearance on Tim Kirchin, both from Worldwide Leader and Tim Kirchin.
But is it all thawed, or it's not all thawed? There's a hiccup of thawed.
I mean, they can say no on specific things. Obviously, they reserve the right to say no, and they... Like, when we had the Brian Pata local hour, which I enjoyed greatly, they gave clearance for that. But they have told me no in the past before we opened the forbidden door on June Lee.
I think the message I got was just don't abuse it, you know? Ask once in a while, ask for friends of the show, and, you know, if people have a book to promote. Like, Keyshawn Johnson's coming on, God Bless Football, but he has a book to promote. That's why he's coming on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you being in charge of not abusing something is probably just go through.
I've already
on that
abused
one
it. Yeah. I got us Mina. I mean,
I know, but I'm hitting a high average as of late over with A.
Okay.
So on Friday night, I don't think Tim Kirchner will be a part of that, but I hope at some point in the future I could give people access to these 69 telephoned calls between Mike Schert and Tim Kirchner, Stugatz, because I put it on silent, and my wife and I were snorting with laughter because you put those two guys together, and it's like putting, I don't know if you have anyone like this in your life, I mean, because of how you love basketball, but you put them together, and it's like putting an electrical current together because they just start talking, and do you remember this, and do you remember that, and the enthusiasm is infectious, and it's uproariously funny.
I once did it with my dad and Bob Ryan. My dad is a big Red Sox fan. He loves Bob Ryan. I let the two of them talk, and it was glorious. I have never heard my dad happy.
Our audience would love to hear those two talk.
I once did it with Neil Brennan and Adam McKay. Yeah. Just let them talk about whatever the hell they were talking about. Clip it, call it a podcast.
What's that podcast?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. It's called Cinephobe. It's this one where me and Zach Harper watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and we try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or perhaps they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe. It's produced by Anthony Mays, and you can find it wherever you get podcasts.
It's the ascertaining that's the most important part of this situation.
A lot of ascertaining happening. It's Wesley Snipes month, guys, and boy, we found some Wesley gems. We've got Blade Trinity coming out. It's out today. Guest starring Juju Gotti.
Nice.
Came on the pod and he reviewed Blade Trinity with us.
That'll be good. Juju, people really like hearing from Juju on all things.
To your point, though, about the Yankees and Mike Schur, of course that's going to be like, I want to watch that. Because the Yankees are a half out in the wild card, and they're going up against the Red Sox, and that's the biggest rivalry in that sport, one of the biggest in sports. Yeah, I want to see a crazed Yankee fan act like a lunatic. That's fun.
He's a crazed Red Sox fan.
He's a Red Sox fan, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he hates the Yankees and fears the Yankees in a way. He told us this was going to happen. As soon as they were dead, they were done. You had Boone. Aaron Boone was going to be fired, it looked like. And then they make a couple of trades for Gallo, and they end up in a place where they right now are right behind Toronto, which has been very hot in September. But what the joy of this is going to be watching Mike Schur fall apart, because as soon as they traded at the trade deadline, as soon as they made moves to not be a seller, he started fearing the Yankees, and with good reason, because the Yankees have become a keg softball team with Rizzo and Gallo.
Why can't we root for him? Why do we want him to fail publicly and have this public meltdown? I want his team to succeed now.
What's more entertaining, though? He fears that as a Red Sox fan winning, no one's going to want to see that, and that he's not going to be fun or interesting as a Red Sox fan losing, that no one will have any sympathy, that he doesn't think it's going to be charming in any way. He thinks it's going to be something that's obnoxious and annoying.
Yeah. Well, it might be. We'll see. I've been rooting for the Red Sox to lose all week so that it's like tied by Friday between the Red Sox and the Yankees. Right now, the Red Sox have a 2-game lead.
I mean, can you please stop that until we're in a break? Sorry. Thank you.
He gets Garrett Cole on Friday.
Oh, wow. Coltrane.
For those of those, if you didn't hear that, that wasn't mean masturbating.
Sounded like he was getting bolted into a roller coaster, pulling the things down.
Exactly right, yeah.
He's fiddling with the settings on our brand new X chairs.
Ooh, X chair? Tell me more.
How about X chair. How about that?
Great lumbar support.
That's what I was trying to do.
They really do, and you can raise it.
Yes. Yep.
But he was trying to do over there while we were talking.
I didn't think it would be that noisy.
Mike Ryan, but it kept being that noisy, and you kept doing it.
It's not X-Chair's fault. That's user error for sure.
Yeah.
Mike Ryan, you said the Brian Paddock conversation that you really enjoyed, and I thought of this the other day. No.
I should have chose better words.
No, but you say that, but I saw this the other day when John Walsh went on television talking about an abduction, and he kept saying, my pleasure, my great pleasure. And we are at a point with, if you're watching the podcast industry, where murder is your pleasure. The podcasts that are best in America are all of these murder podcasts that people can't get away from, that sort of consume them. You're going to have to explain this to me because it's not for me. So it's not something, I've never heard of one of them. But clearly they're addictive in a way that soaks into you. And I'm guessing people are just sort of taking it with it, listening in the car. Everywhere they're going, they're catching up for the next 20 minutes of what's this murder mystery. How many of these are there now? There are half a dozen in America that are the biggest podcasts in America because all they're doing is chronicling some sort of murder mystery. And it's something that's outside of my realm. I'm totally ignorant here, but as I imagine it, I'm like, is that good for anyone's mental health to be addicted to that particular genre of entertainment where you've got that energy on you all day for weeks at a time?
I mean, it's great storytelling. It's 2020. It's Dateline. I love those shows. And they have podcasts, and those podcasts are very popular as well. People just like, they like those stories about, you know, murder mysteries, and, you know, they do a good job. I've listened to one. I also listened to, like, Bikram Yoga, which I didn't think that I was going to like. It was like a 5-part series. No, I'm serious, Dan. The storytelling is something I didn't think I would like. And it was so well done by ESPN, the folks at ESPN, that it kept me going and it kept me interested in a way that I was shocked.
It's a great story. It's about a cult, and it's one of these guys who uses the fame of Bikram Yoga to create a cult, and it becomes a sex cult. Is it actually him? I don't even remember. I saw it as well.
No, it's him.
It's him.
I think there are two of them. I think there's one other guy who's not the inventor. Well, maybe I've got that wrong, but I did think that there were multiple stories like that of yoga sex cults.
I'm just pointing out that the storytelling, if it's done in a way that's good enough, it will keep you going. Like, it really will. And I'm assuming most of these murder mysteries are something similar to that.
Great investigative reporting. That's some of the best investigative journalism going on right now. Solving cold cases, doing good, really well produced. I've listened to Atlanta Monster and Dirty John. I'm totally enraptured by these things. Wanting to S-Town was another one that was great. Right now, when you look at the Apple Podcasts top 10 charts, you have Crime Junkie number one, Murdaugh Murders number two, Going West, a true crime podcast, and Hoda is in the top four. Congratulations, Hoda. Well,
she hasn't actually made anything yet, right? It's just Hoda announcing that Hoda's going to be here.
There's an episode. There's a trailer, and Monday was the first episode. The podcast was appropriately titled Making Space because it was just a placeholder for a while. Dateline, Wondery's Suspect podcast, which is also true crime, a podcast that is called Morbid, a true crime podcast. Something Was Wrong. The Daily and Smartless, which is a great podcast with Jason Bateman and Will Arnett and John Hayes.
There's a great show on Hulu called Only Murders in the Building. It's Steve Martin.
Martin Short and Selena Gomez. It's so good. Every Tuesday, Dan, you should check it out.
I am so happy to hear you guys say that's good because
it's excellent.
Steve Martin and Martin Short have been trying to do something that's so damn hard at their age, so damn hard, staying relevant with comedy, because comedy doesn't age well, and when you're not funny at that age, it can be tough. And they were doing a bit of a variety show that went over like a bag of turds, I think, at just in a certain demo. But you're telling me this is good.
Yeah.
I saw an interview with them that Bill Maher ruined, because Bill Maher can do some of that when he's interviewing. He can make these things about himself. And I'm like, please let that be good, because I would love these guys to finish on top as legends.
Oh, I've heard about that podcast. Martin Short is in that.
Steve Martin also.
I like it, Dan. It's a show about these people, and it's called Only Murders in the Building. Right. Yeah. And they're investigating a murder in their building, and they're starting a true crime podcast about it.
So they're all addicted to this particular true crime podcaster played by Tina Fey, which is like one of these types of things. It's got some OK in Oklahoma. It's got one of those silly punny names or whatever. And while they are, you know, they discovered they all like the same podcast, very different people. Steve Martin plays a former TV star who played in a
Brazos
in like a Columbo type of TV show. He played a detective. And then Martin Short is a Broadway director who's kind of come on hard times because his last show was a complete flop. And then Selena Gomez is just this young woman who lives in the building. They have nothing in common. And there's a murder that happens in the building. And Martin Short says, we should do our own podcast about this murder in real time as we try to follow clues and figure out who the murderer is. But to answer your question, Dan, about how these guys manage to stay relevant. Billy backed me up on this one. They poke fun at how old they are. There's a scene where Martin Short and Steve Martin want to call Selena Gomez and they say, should I call her? No, text her. They seem to hate calls for some reason. They do a lot of kind of self-deprecating humor about how old they are. So it works.
It's funny that you say that because I've been watching a lot of Norm MacDonald here in the last 10 days or so, and there's been some great stuff been put out there. Conan O'Brien talks about it in a way that will help you understand some of how good he was at this. And I don't know whether it's Norm has a show or one of his television show, he was going for quaint and weird, and Chevy Chase was on one of the episodes, and Chevy Chase has become a bitter old man that other comedians are like, ooh, your energy super dark and unhappy. And the first 10 minutes of it, I was like squirming around inside of my skin because it was so old. What they were doing was just not working because it was old. And to hear you say that Steve Martin and Martin Short are being self-deprecating and introspective and self-aware about the fact that even if you're a legend, that stuff doesn't age well. Like there's so few guys who do that well.
So you feel better? You were concerned about Steve Martin?
I thought I was going to be made sad.
No, it's great. And I'll have you know, saying this Martin Short is irrelevant. If you go to the Canada Pavilion at Epcot Center, he takes you on a tour around Canada in 360 degrees about 600 times a day, every day. He is as relevant as he has ever been as he takes us over Niagara Falls and all the other sights and sounds of good old Canada.
Have you ever made it to the steakhouse at Epcot Canada?
No, that's a rich man's game.
If you go there, head chef, fan of the show.
Really?
What a steak dinner I had. Wow. Try the gray stuff. It's delicious.
Did you get any celebrity crud for that? For being did they throw out any chef
super
treats?
Nice. The chef was from Hialeah. It was great. We talked about Hialeah.
Mike, how do you go about this? You always say, oh, so-and-so is a big fan of the show. Went to the DMV. They're big fans of the show, whatever. How do you actually like open that door of, I want to go to this place. Do these people know who I am or like what I do?
I don't open my own doors. People are very chivalrous.
Right. My guess is that person approached Mike, right?
I never make an ask. I'm not like Sue Gass.
But I'm saying here,
that way. You cut the line at the DMV yesterday. Yeah. What do you mean you never like, make
an ask? I had a
friend with county connections, and I was like, why? And I just, my
they just
offer
that to you. Hey, by the way, if you need to cut the line at the DMV without knowing anything at all.
But Mike, that's an ask.
So like that's the gambit was, why does a DMV under a pandemic cancel appointments? It doesn't make sense. And this person works for the county, a close friend of mine, and he's like, dude, it doesn't make any sense. Let me help you out. Are you at one right now? Yeah, so that's how what's going on here?
This steakhouse is really expensive, isn't it? Well, don't worry, we got you.
I'm gonna stand here until someone recognizes me.
I was laughing at you guys, and I just want the audience to hear what was said and how it was said in only my ear as you guys were talking, because I wish the audience had heard what was said the way that it was said in only my ear.
In Broward County, I stood my black ass outside the DMV for 4 hours before I went inside that building.
That's a Broward County problem.
I guess so.
Live in Miami-Dade, I got you.
Okay. I can't go into Miami-Dade. I don't live in Miami-Dade, unfortunately.
Gotta get you a P.O. box.
Yes.
I was recognized by Goofy once.
Nice.
That's a true story.
I don't believe that. You got Goofy to break?
No way.
I was amazing. At a character. No. I did not get the character to break. I was at.
Goofy waved at you. Goofy waves at everyone.
Listen,
that's
no.
part of the deal. Being Goofy.
Do you think he was just waving at you?
How does Goofy convey that he was?
Laugh it out.
Goofy wanted to take a picture with me.
Goofy can talk. But
Chris Cody has the story for us. This is where Chris Cody gets to be the hero.
I told this on air, I believe, when I came back. I was at a character breakfast, which is the breakfast where all the characters are walking around.
They're great.
And about midway through, my waitress comes over and says, Goofy's a big fan of your show. And then, 5 minutes later, Goofy comes walking out and he gave me a few extra points.
I mean, that is good.
Was the breakfast comped?
No.
Do you know how great it is that you were at Disney World and Goofy thinks you're a character?
Tried to hit him with but he didn't really. He was far away.
Oh my gosh.
He gets that all the time. It's like someone asking you about the Dolphins.
Who do you think's a bigger fan of Goofy of Chris or Chris of Goofy?
Goofy is my favorite. If you'd have said to me before Disney, a character's going to know who you are, I would have said Goofy. So
everyone says Mickey there, no?
Nah, I've always been a Goofy guy myself.
Nah, I could see Chris, liking Goofy the most.
Donald.
Of course.
Yeah. Donald's my guy.
Gaston. I can party, man.
This is a different game. Disney characters you'd want to get drunk with.
Oh. Still Donald.
The bears, no? The bears in the saloon. They play the jugs.
Oh, from Song of the South?
Oh, no.
No, 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 no.
No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no.
Baloo. I would get drunk with Baloo.
Someone name any bear.
Oh, no, I don't have any of the bears. I'm sorry. Stugatz, this is your lane. I thought you were just going to start naming bears there.
Baloo's a bear.
Baloo, Steve McMichael. And Chris Felica. I'm thinking of Disney characters I want to get hammered with.
I mean, Buzz Lightyear, the laser on his
hand. Oh, that's a good one, man.
He does not. He's too straight lace.
Really?
Yeah, you need someone who knows how to have a good time. Cut loose.
Rex.
Stitch. From Lilo and Stitch.
Stitch would get you arrested. Yeah, Stitch would be a
problem. Lilo's older sister.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Rabbit.
Not a Disney character.
It was a Touchstone movie, so I'm counting that as
they open the Forbidden Door and there's a Roger Rabbit ride at Disney parks.
Wow.
That you can actually see dueling pianos from Daffy Duck and Donald Duck in that film.
Hold on. Disney's opening a lot of Forbidden Doors. Mina coming on Stupidity. Roger Rabbit having a ride.
Wait until the X-Men universe makes its way into the MCU.
That's not a forbidden door, sir. That's ownership right there. They own it.
June Lee, the great white whale.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
A recreation of the iconic scene in A Few Good Men, as told by Chris Cody.
Stugatz.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to them.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I've got some football numbers for you guys, Stugatz. I don't know if the Raiders are for real, and I don't know if Derek Carr is for real, but he has thrown for 800 yards against what I think we all believe are good defenses, Pittsburgh and the Ravens, and no other passer has been even 100 yards within his yardage totals, and he's been the best fourth quarter thrower in the league and the best overtime thrower in the league. Now it's two games,
right?
But if it's going to be, are the Raiders for real? Is Derek Carr for real the rest of the time they're together? Because none of us trust that that's a quarterback that's good enough. But with Gruden, the last, I don't know, dozen games, he's been pretty damn good.
I think the Steelers have a good defense. I'm not certain the Ravens do. They've given up. Now they played the Chiefs and they played the Raiders, but they're giving up 35 points a game. You know, so I don't know how good that defense is. I think we do that thing with the Ravens where we just assume they always have a good defense because once upon a time they had one of the greatest defenses ever.
They've got people out too. Right.
Derek Carr is really good in the 2-minute drill. I don't know if you've noticed this about him. When they run high tempo, he is really underrated as a quarterback. And Sugat said this earlier in the week. John Gruden, there was a lot of game passing by, and this show in particular did a lot of laughing at John Gruden's expense. Now, it may not work out for him. Heck, they may even miss the playoffs. But John Gruden, in terms of an offensive mind, still very sharp and still very much with it.
Mike, he's worth that contract if this with Derek Carr is real. If this is real, then this is something that he made working with him, getting the skill
if
guys.
If he's turned Derek Carr into a great quarterback.
And with their skill guys, because their skill guys, I mean, Waller's he's a mutant Frankenstein. Ruggs is faster than anyone in the league. Like,
took him a minute to get skill guys. They tried with Antonio Brown. It didn't work out. They developed Darren Waller from a wide receiver to a tight end. They got some speed now on the outside in Henry Ruggs. It's a talented team, and you could actually see Derek Carr's development. And look, you know who the highest-rated passer of the preseason was? I know it's preseason football, but do you know who the highest preseason-rated passer was? It was Nathan Peterman. Plays for John Gruden's Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay, so let's go down this path for a second, because there are other numbers that I want to get to you. But if we're going to laugh at the $100 million deal that Gruden got, he becomes worth it. If he simply makes Derek Carr if this is what Derek Carr, because I thought they were going to get rid of him this offseason.
They're always in on other quarterbacks.
They are.
The hot rumor for this offseason is Devontae Adams flirting with Derek Carr. Yeah, I'll go back Fresno guys. No, it's taking Aaron Rodgers with him. They're always sniffing around. They talked to Brady.
They got off to the 6-2 start last year, so we'll see what happens. But he's been under 10 interceptions every year that Gruden's been there. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Okay, so let's move from that for a second, though, because I've got some other numbers for you. Because Mike Ryan's Baker Mayfield is completing 81% of his passes, and that's the highest you've ever seen from a quarterback through 2 weeks. And it ain't the way Brandon Whedon does it. Like, he's throwing the ball downfield. His average, I don't know if it's best in the league, yards per attempt, but it's first or second or third. Like, I think that Baker Mayfield's not playing dink and dunk.
So there's this advanced analytic that I had Mina send me a very long voice note to explain to me what it meant. Baker Mayfield is ranking number one in the NFL's CPOE. That's completion over expectation stat. Basically, it's a metric that takes in how difficult some of these throws are, what the average completion percentage is, and Baker Mayfield's number one, far exceeding that.
But there's two ways to look at that, because they have a stat like that in basketball as well about quantified shot quality, which is one way to look at it is, wow, this guy throws incredibly difficult passes and he makes them. So he must be great, great skilled. Kind of like Steph Curry takes incredibly difficult three-pointers that we would expect someone to shoot poorly on, but he shoots really well on them. Or there's a regression to the mean going to happen, that this guy is making bad throws and he's just gotten by with completions, but sooner or later, the game is going to catch up to him and he's going to come back down.
For me, there are no ways to look at that.
Don't doubt that. I can understand, certainly in Baker's case, who's shown that he can put up like a season sample of being good and a season sample of being like, is this the guy? A regression in the mean thing, possibly, especially with Jarvis Landry out. There's talk that Odell may make his return to the lineup, but he was
that'll
doing
be
that.
Funny, Mike. This will be funny if this is how we're talking about Baker again with Odell out, and then Odell comes back and the thing looked different and constipated again.
I think Baker's a guy that needs to spread the ball around. He only had two incompletions, one of which was an interception because Anthony Schwartz didn't finish his route, ended up getting Baker Mayfield's left shoulder separated as he tried to make a tackle there. Baker popped it back in himself and went on to only throw one incompletion for the rest of the game. Did that with Anthony Schwartz, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who sounds more like a law firm than a wide receiver, and Jarvis Landry, who hurt himself very early in that game. Baker Mayfield won that game for the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have a quarterback that can win them games when they're putting forth a bad effort. Luckily, they were playing the Texans. There's only a handful of teams that they can win that game against with that effort, but Baker Mayfield carried them.
You mentioned a quarterback who can overcome bad efforts by his team. And I can't believe I'm saying this. It's a stunning thing to imagine, even though it's weekly now, and he just won the championship. But when you look at the Bucs, they're tied for the league lead in penalties and turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're first in quarterbacks.
But but he has thrown 9 touchdown passes. In the history of the league, 44-year-old quarterbacks have thrown 13 of those. Okay, so through 2 games, he's got 9. That's a career best.
That's funny.
9 touchdown passes, and all 44-year-olds who have ever played, all those photos of Y.A. Tittle and Sammy Baugh, guys on their knees.
I told you the other day, he's the 5th quarterback to do that, 9 TDs through 2 games. The other 4, their average age was like 27 years old.
And so you've got 13 touchdowns by all 44-year-olds ever, but also he's got an incredible completion percentage in the end zone. It's like 70% when he was 40% all of last year. I saw these stats on SportsCenter. And getting rid of the ball super fast, 2.5. When he throws the ball, he's playing a different game because he's got 7 touchdowns, no interceptions when he throws the ball within 2.5 seconds.
Passing the ball in today's day and age when you're in the goal line situation is actually quite hard. You don't have a lot of space to work with. And Tampa Bay's figured out that if you just put really tall guys, you have a larger margin of error because you can just put it somewhere and they can get it. And they got guys like Evans and Gronkowski that are 2 all-time red zone targets. And then, just for shits and giggles, we've got Antonio Brown and Charles Godwin too. And Cameron Brate, who's also a ridiculously talented goal line tight end. So they've got so many weapons.
And no place to put O.J. Howard whenever he comes back.
Oh, Brate's gone missing too. It's incredible.
Scotty Miller, Brate, O.J. Howard, they've all gone missing.
As we talk about all of these stats, all of these numbers, Chris Cody, Roy Bellamy, Billy Gill, heartbroken Dolphin fans, I bring you the information that Jacoby Brissett says he is not a backup, and he refuses to be called a backup.
Oh, no.
Jacoby Brissett says he's a starter.
God damn it.
Boy, I told you this guy would be a problem.
Mike Ryan comes in with all the analytics. This is what we have to talk about around the Dolphins. Brissett says he starts.
I like Jacoby Brissett. I thought Jacoby Brissett was a better quarterback in Indianapolis last year. I thought he was better than Phillip Rivers at that stage of his career, and the offense moved better with Jacoby Brissett. And I know Jacoby Brissett wasn't good in that spot. The offensive line was terrible. I do think Austin Jackson, tackle. Now you go from a lefty quarterback to a righty quarterback.
Jesse Davis was playing right tackle, turnstile.
Yeah. Austin was pretty good last year, no?
Yeah.
He was okay.
He wasn't terrible.
He wasn't what he was the last game. He just came off the COVID list, right? That could be an explanation for what happened there. It could also be that maybe the Bills have figured this out by drafting Rousseau and Milano was incredible. Maybe they're an overwhelming defensive front. We'll find out. But that's an explanation, too. They had COVID issues. They had guys working themselves back. And I think Jacoby Brissett's mobility, if you have a full week of game planning, if he indeed is a starter against Las Vegas, I want to write him off. I like Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback.
What's he supposed to say there? I'm terrible?
He should go about that, exactly. He should always say, I've envisioned myself as a starter. But Jacoby Brissett, for much of his career, has been a starter, be it by injury or just by decision. But he has started, I want to say, close to 40 games in his career. You should view himself that way. It was a good pickup getting him in terms of the open market. When you lose Fitzpatrick, that's as good as you could get in the open market in terms of a backup. And considering how
many times... Don't call him a backup.
I'm sorry? Plan B. Well, no, I don't even want
to
do that.
He wants to be called a starter. He does not want backup. And
how
you're
about a reliever? How about a finisher? He's a finisher.
You're only liking him as someone who comes in. You like the move. You wouldn't like the move if you were bringing him in as a starter, but you like the move because they got one of the league's best backups.
Yeah, I like the move because Tua needed one of the league's best backups.
But
last
he's not
year.
A backup.
Hey,
what part of this are you not finisher. Understanding?
He's a closer. He's a starter. They got two starters. Congratulations.
There you go.
Who's the worst quarterback that thinks they should be a starter? Because if Jacoby Brissett thinks he should be a starter, doesn't everybody think they should be a starter?
Cam Newton says there are not 32 guys better than me, and he's right.
Like Mike Glennon.
There's probably 50-something.
Like Mike Glennon is still thinking, telling his wife, like, I can do this. If I get a couple starts.
Is that your Mike Glennon?
I love your Mike Glennon. Please, no, hold on a minute. Please, hold on. Get into character. No, please get into character.
With his neck.
I'll give you a minute.
If I just get the right opportunity.
You got him as a stooge in a cartoon?
You give me 5 starts right, with a decent on. Offensive line.
You give me Cameron Brink. You see what I'll do.
He's talking to his wife. His wife is so tired. She's been tired of hearing this since they were together at NC State.
Allow me to be the wife. Mike, maybe it's time to let it go.
Did you watch me at NC State? I was all ACC. I don't have necessarily the mobility, but no one can see over the line like me.
Michael, the ACC network job is a good job. It's a stable job.
I'm ready to pack it in. I've got a lot of good football left in me.
My footwork is underrated.
I can step up in the pocket with the best of them. No one can scan the field like me.
But wouldn't it be nice to be around the family more often and not have to worry about any injuries?
Babe, just give me one more season. I went into camp with that starter. You know I had that heel thing, but I wouldn't complain about it to the trainers. Just let me do this.
Don't you worry about your neck being
Where's
vulnerable?
The belief? We're supposed to be in a partnership. When I took my vows, I looked into your eyes. I took an oath. I took an oath.
You can't win. You've seen him. You know how strong
You're
he is.
You're just like the rest of them. You're always doubting me.
Get this enough on Twitter.
My mother was right.
Oh, no, it's escalating.
You know what? You look just like her right now. You're acting just like your mother.
Just stop it, Michael. Just stop it.
No.
You're being ugly.
You get that stubbornness from your dad. You know what? I'm going to meet up Peter for drinks. I'm out of here.
Fine, go. Go drown your sorrows in your cheap beer and your ugly friends.
And tell you what, I'm not going to therapy. I'm not. Therapy is not happening. Sorry. You need to work on you. There's one person pulling the rope for this family right here, and it's Mike Glennon.
What? Do you know how hard I worked raising the kids, keeping a home?
Oh, every time with the kids.
I get no thanks.
Every time with the kids.
I get no appreciation for what I do, Michael.
Sherry, look around. You see this? Many people would describe this estate as palatial. Palatial estate. You want to go mahjonging with your friends? I don't say anything. I don't say anything. But yet, if I want to have 18 holes with Peter on a Saturday, I can't hear the end of it.
Michael, you come home broken down every day, and who's there for you? Not Peter. Not football.
Stop
me.
Talking about Peter that way. You do not talk about Peter that way. He is the salt of the earth.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Plus, add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. No contracts to worry about and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.